Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm going to say this because I have to, coming from me, but my wife, she blew me away today. Her and Greg, they've been working on that song for 5 years. No, they... I don't know if you even know, well, Dave Bennett was here, the clarinetist. That was a song that he wrote, and I had tears while she was playing it. It's such a great song, so, but kudos to Terry Jo. I got some questions that I'd like to start us off with, and think about this. What do you think are the top three reasons that a person or people don't want to follow Jesus? Think about that. Why would somebody not want to follow Jesus? What would be their logic and their reasoning behind not following Jesus? You want to throw some things out? I wrote three down that are the top, but
they're afraid of losing what they think is their freedom.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly right. Anybody else? Exactly. That's a great answer. That is really great. The world? Oh, I love the world. You know? Anybody else?
They don't think that they can do good enough.
They can't be good enough.
They fail.
Yep. Okay. Excellent. Well, looking these up, I found out that these three answers that are here, I don't want anyone telling me how to live. Is that how we feel? Does Jesus tell us how to live? Is it a burden? Not at all. Because everything he tells us is what? It's good. Number two, I've got a good life. Why do I need God? It's just interfering with my life. Why do I need God? I live just fine. Number three, look what I'm going to have to give up. Boy, you know, I grew up in a Baptist church, okay. My family was very Baptist, okay. Can I start with, you don't drink, smoke, dance, go to movies? I mean, the list was unending of the don'ts. So when the world sees that, yeah, just think what I'm going to have to give up. Huh. Isn't that amazing how we as believers convince the world of these items? That isn't the way it should be. Because what is it that Jesus accomplished on the cross? He gave us what? Freedom. He said that himself. You want to truly be free? Follow me. Mark 10, 32 through 52 is our scripture today. And I'm going to ask a couple more questions here. Why were the disciples surprised or disappointed when Jesus was crucified? Was it because they lost a friend? No, that wasn't it. That might have been a little bit of a part of what they felt. We lost our friend. But then the next part was, how many times does Jesus tell them that it was going to happen? I mean, how many times did he have to tell them, this is what's going to happen? And he gave them the reason. The accounts in the four Gospels agree that there were three very specific times. There were a few subtle references in addition to these. How many Old Testament passages predicted this whole thing, that Jesus would come, die, and rise again? How many Old Testament passages predicted it? No less than 11. Now, remember, the disciples in Jesus, here in Mark, what was their scripture? The New Testament? Not at all. Their scripture was the Old Testament. So we ask ourselves, did they know that the Savior was going to be coming and die on a cross and raise from the dead? Did they know it? Was it in the scripture? You bet it was. So, how well do we know scripture? You know, I guess that brings me back to the question about, are we surprised with the things that God wants to accomplish in our life and does in our life? Are we surprised because we don't know scripture? Isaiah 53 was probably the most relevant Old Testament passage told about Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. Let's read Mark 10, 32-34. They were on their way up. That was the disciples and Jesus, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. Again, he says, "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, Pharisees. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Well, this is now the third time, recorded third time, that Jesus predicted his death to the disciples. Did they hear him? Were they really listening to what he was saying? I'm going to stop there for a second, and I'm going to ask another question. As we go through our day, are we listening to what Jesus really says? The only way to know that, because I've never yet, in 72 years, Tucker, you're older than me, right? By a little bit. In all those years, did you ever hear the voice of God talk to you? No. Boy, that'd make it easy, wouldn't it? But I would say, who was it? Black comedian Bill Cosby. What? Who was that? Is that you? About the ark? It would blow us away. I mean, it would absolutely blow us away to the point where we may not even believe it. It would take a miracle for us to believe a voice that was coming from God. But he gave us the scripture. Today, our daily bread. They hit things for me constantly. All the scriptures that I memorized today is the one out of Peter that I memorized the whole book, 2 Peter. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. How? Through our knowledge of him, the scriptures, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Do we know the scripture? The disciples knew their scriptures, but they were blown away by the fact that Jesus was brutally murdered, put on a cross, and going to be put into a tomb. But they didn't listen to the rest of the story. We have the whole story written. We have the New Testament. We have a record of everything that happened. Are we listening when God speaks through that scripture to us? The Son of Man was mentioned. Jesus said the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? Did they understand that Jesus is the subject of this reference? After all, Jesus himself made this reference about himself. If you look at the Old Testament, there are references to the Son of Man other than Jesus, okay? There are other references to the Son of Man. What would you think in your head, common sense, would be the Son of Man?
Now,
what was that?
Person.
A person. Jesus then was saying a person, a Son of Man, is going to go through this. Jesus made it very clear that he was referring to himself. They shouldn't have been surprised. The Son of Man, they understood, was Jesus himself. Jesus spoke several times in the third person. And it's just one of the things that Jesus used to get people's attention when talking about himself. You know, that always made me think, you like it when people talk about themselves? It can get old. It can get really old real fast. So I don't think Jesus wanted to talk about himself. So he used third person. That's kind of my reasoning on it. Maybe wrong. I might not even find out when I get there, but that's probably not a question that I'm going to ask. But here's a situation where Jesus was definitely referring to himself as the Son of Man. Mark 10, 35 through 40. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now, is that bold or what? Is that arrogant? I don't know if I've got, I don't know if I'd have the courage to do that, knowing who Jesus was. And what did Jesus say in response? Well, what do you want me to do for you? They know they're talking to the one human being, which is God, that's standing with them, that can do anything. They've witnessed what he can do. Now they're saying, hey, we want to sit at your left and your right hand. We deserve that. Jesus, in his wisdom, gave a great answer. You don't know what you're asking. Think about it. You don't know what you're asking. You know me and you still ask that question? Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? And that was a trick question by Jesus. He does that a lot because he knows that they will be. They will drink the cup and will be baptized with the same baptism. But he's making a point. We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But, see, this is a special little word. It's a three-letter word. But, to sit at my right hand or my left hand, it's not for me to grant. Did they realize that Jesus was God or a human being? They had this human being with them for so long that they're looking at him as a human being also. But they know how powerful he is. And I think they really realize that he is God in the flesh. And they still ask that question. We want to sit at your left and your right hand. These places, Jesus said, belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Okay. You're standing with Jesus and he's talking with you and you've asked this silly, stupid question. And Jesus said, these positions are for the two people who they've been prepared. What would your common question then be of Jesus? Well, who is that? They didn't ask that question. At least it's not recorded. I would have asked that question. Well, then if we can't be there, who is it? Who gets those spots? No, we don't know. Because Jesus nailed the answer. He said, it's been determined by God himself who's going to sit at my left and right hand. Did he say it won't be James and John? No, he didn't say it won't be you. But he said, but it's not for me to determine. My Father has determined that. You need to trust God. You need to trust him. He's the Spirit that you need to trust. Notice and remember the demand, I used that demand that James and John made of Jesus. Then notice and remember Jesus' response. If you were in this conversation, I already asked it, what would your most likely response be? Well, who are they? But the bigger question is, why do they want those two positions? Did Jesus know the answer before they asked it? You bet. Well, that would be a position of notoriety and power. Are we seeking out to have notoriety and power? Well, remember, these are just two of the how many disciples? 12? They're kind of outnumbered, aren't they? Who wouldn't want position and power? I mean, who wouldn't want that? But Jesus knew their motives. Yes, they will drink the cup and be baptized for the faith, but they could never fulfill the role that Jesus, as a man, was about to undergo. That he just told them about the third time. Only Jesus or God could die to cover the sins of all. Could any human being ever do that? Human beings die every day. But do they die to cover your sin? Who could do that as a human being? Only Jesus. Because God put the curse on man at the Garden of Eden. He said, you will surely die. You'll be separated because of your sin from me, God. And there's only one solution to find your way back. He predicted the birth and death and life of Jesus way back then. And he said, That way back is going to be through the person of Jesus Christ. Well, when the 10, verse 41, when the 10 heard about this, and rightly so, they became indignant with James and John. I can just hear these guys talking. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who, another one of those answers that only Jesus could come up with. He's such a diplomat, and he always tells the truth. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, they just lord it over them. Why would he say that? And their high officials exercise authority over them. He's always got this over them. And here's two disciples saying, we want those positions at your left and right hand. We want to have that position over them. Their motive. It was all wrong. after all these years that they've spent with Jesus, listening to his teaching, they still got it wrong. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. What did he say here? As a ransom for who? Many. Could either one of those two disciples do that? Did they deserve that position? No. Only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus, only God living in Jesus as a man could pay the price and serve as a ransom for many. Indignant? What gives them the right to be in those positions more than anyone else? I mean, if I was one of the other disciples, I'd say, how do you rate? What are you trying to do? You want to lord it over me? I'm sorry. That isn't going to happen. We'll see to that. You're on your way out. No, they didn't. They probably said a lot of things, but Jesus stepped in and he calmed it down. Jesus explains that the motive is not about authority or power. It's not even possible for any person other than Jesus to be a selfless ransom for many. It really comes down to service. And no one has the ability to do what he did to serve mankind. Could any human being pay for the sins of mankind with death and then bring themselves back to life? Remember, a very important fact. Jesus rose from the dead in victory. I can't do that. You can't do that. Not for the purpose of saving mankind. We can't do that. We going to die? Well, probably. Unless Jesus comes back and takes us home. That'd be kind of cool. But we're not going to skirt around death. It's going to happen. Mark 10, 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho. Now, when I start reading this, I say, how in the world does this story meld together with that, what they just talked about in the prior verses? What does this have to do with anything? Well, think about it and listen. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus. And I looked up Timaeus, and there is nobody that could tell you who Timaeus was. But Bartimaeus means Bar is the son of Timaeus. Okay? So that's where he got his name, Bartimaeus. And they knew him because he was a blind man, beggar, that sat begging every day. Everybody knew him. He was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. You think because of all these people that wandered by him day after day, he didn't hear about Jesus? The story's out. Bartimaeus heard. He heard about the healings. He heard about the power. He heard about the love. And when he heard it was Jesus, what does he do? He began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I love, have mercy on me. Because he just didn't shout out, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, have mercy on me. But many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, He was persistent. Son of David, have mercy on me. Didn't we just a couple weeks ago, who was it, Mark? Somebody talked about, let the little children come unto me. What were they trying to do with the children? Be quiet, go away. Don't bother Jesus. Well, here it is again. You think Jesus is trying to get a message out? So Bartimaeus just persisted. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet. See, boy, did they change their attitude. Just shut up and go away. Don't bother Jesus. Oh, cheer up. Jesus is calling you. Like you've been chosen. He's calling for you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up to his feet and came to Jesus. Now, I don't know how far Jesus was from Bartimaeus, but as a blind man, I don't think he did that on his own. He didn't just jump up and start running to Jesus. First off, he didn't know where he was, but he heard that Jesus was there. So somebody obviously helped Bartimaeus go over to Jesus, and I think it was probably one of the disciples. I don't know that. What was Jesus' first thing that he asked? What do you want me to do for you? Didn't he just ask that question? Mm-hmm. Who did he ask it of? Disciples. Two disciples that wanted to sit at his right and left hand in glory. What did Bartimaeus want? He wanted sight. He wanted healing. Let's read on. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi or teacher, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Do you think the disciples kind of got the picture at that point about motive? I would hope so. Their motive wasn't to receive sight. And I don't mean physical sight, but real spiritual sight. Their motive was to lord it over and to have power. Bartimaeus came to Jesus, asked the same question, and Jesus asked the same question of him. What's your motive, Bartimaeus? I just want to see. And how did Jesus respond? Why was Bartimaeus blind? Everybody know that answer? Nobody does. But back then, it was a common thought process that if you were born blind or whatever happened, you were a sinner. Your parents must have sinned because you wouldn't have been born that way if they didn't. Or you must have sinned or it wouldn't have happened to you. That was their attitude. Well, what does that say about sin? It means that sin is a bad thing. And most people, even back then, considered sin to be an evil thing. Evil enough to cause blindness. According to common belief, either his parents or him, one of them sinned. Well, that makes them sinners. Just like us. The disciples and the crowd told him to be quiet, but he persisted and he got the attention of Jesus. Let's see, a sinner that persisted calling to Jesus and got Jesus' attention. Because he was looked on as a sinner because of his blindness. But Jesus now wants to talk with him. Jesus then asked the same question as he did of James and John. What do you want me to do for you? And what was the result? Healing. A different result than he gave James and John. All because of motive. All because of motive. We have a wonderful example set by Jesus. Remember, he was God, but also man. He wanted everyone to understand that no earthly person could pay the penalty for sin. Only God can do this. We also see that there are many obstacles in the way. We talked at the very beginning of why people don't want to accept Christ. This is where those obstacles start to play a part. Selfishness, a desire for power, pride, wealth, but a childlike attitude of faith is a great start. We just talked about the little children. You got it. You know who the kingdom of heaven is? Jesus said it. What did he say? The little children. Why do you think he said that? Do they believe in Santa Claus? You bet they do. They're easy to convince. And Jesus said, you need to get your head on square and start thinking about life in reality like a little child. I'm Jesus. I am God, and I can save you. But you have to come to me with the right attitude and with the right motives. You may ask what the relevance is for including this account of healing with the prior conversation Jesus had with James and John. In both situations, Jesus was accepted as God, Savior, and healer, right? Everybody, James and John, Bartimaeus, they all looked at Jesus as that person. God, Savior, and healer. Both situations raise the question of motives. Now, the disciples were very close to Jesus after all those years, and Bartimaeus had only heard of who Jesus was. In both situations, Jesus was being asked to do something for them. And in both situations, his response was healing. For the disciples, healing from their ego and their pride. For Bartimaeus, healing his blindness. In both cases, they received sight. Do you understand that? They began to clearly see what God is all about. Well, what are the lessons? First off, realize who Jesus is. We go back to the question that they asked Jesus. We do this for us. We want you to grant whatever we ask you. Right there, their motive is pretty obvious. You just do what we want you to do. How much do you love us, Jesus? Don't play that card. God knows your heart. Don't demand anything from Jesus. You're treading on thin ice. You're walking on rough water. Don't demand anything from Jesus. Go back to the first part. Realize who Jesus is. Humble yourselves or ourselves in respect. Bartimaeus, humble, respectful of Jesus. trust and believe that he wants only what's best for us. The longer you are alive and the longer you've been a believer, the more you start to realize how much God is in control, and whatever takes place, no matter what it is, he is doing whatever it takes to be best for us. That's hard to swallow, because we want what's best for us. Boy, the disciples wanted power. That wasn't what was best for them. So Jesus used this story right in line with what just took place to show the disciples and all the crowd what it takes to get Jesus' attention and to get a result that you need. Father, you are, as we've said, the all-knowing, all-powerful God. You had a plan before you even created the world of how to bring man back to you. You desire our attention, but we desire and need your attention. Help us to all, every day, look at ourselves and say, do I really deserve to be in front of the God of the universe? But help us to also realize that that can only happen because of what Jesus did in our place. Thank you for all you do for us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.